Welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast.
To me, being perfect is not about that scoreboard out there.
This is a chance of a lifetime.
When you can understand the person, you can then work towards a common goal.
We are all on the same team.
Know your role and do it to the best of your ability.
Focus on the fundamentals. We've gone over time and time again.
Your defense has got to be better.
Leave no doubt tonight.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
Hello and welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast, where we believe that there is no algorithm for leadership, and so we interview great sports coaches from around the world to try and find ideas to help all of us be better leaders. Our great coach on this episode is Brendan Joyce. Brendan played for 13 seasons in the Australian National Basketball League. After retiring, he transitioned into coaching and led the Ballarat Miners to two CBA championships. He then went on to coach more than 400 games in the National Basketball League, winning the championship in 2001 with the Wollongong Hawks. He has coached at three Olympics, twice as an assistant to the Australian men's team, and once as the head coach of the Australian women's team, with who he also won a bronze medal at the 2014 World Championships. He has also twice been voted the National Basketball League Coach of the Year. He is presently in Taiwan coaching the Kaohsiung Aquas and won the championship with them in 2022 and was also voted Coach of the Year. Brendan has great energy, and in this terrific interview, some of the key highlights were the way he talks about finding the line when it comes to challenging people to the right level and how your consistency is a good tool in helping you achieve this. The need to develop a high level of confidence and self-belief as a coach, given the criticism you will experience, but also ensuring this doesn't spill over into arrogance. How he encourages his players to find the balance between being aggressive to score, but also doing what they can to make the extra pass. And the link between good team chemistry and clarity on team roles. I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. And just before we go to the interview, if you like what we do here at The Great Coaches, then head over to our website, thegreatcoachespodcast.com, where you will find loads of exclusive video and audio content. It's designed for you to download and share with your friends and teams to bring another perspective to the challenges that you might be facing. And now, please enjoy our interview with Brendan Joyce.
You're listening to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Brendan Joyce, hello, and welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Absolutely delighted to be here, mate, and thanks for inviting us.
Very excited to talk to another Australian about a little bit of basketball too. So could we kick off with something pretty simple, Brendan? Where are you in the world? Because this is an interesting answer. And what have you been up to so far today?
Today's a day off. I am in Kaohsiung in Taiwan. That's south of Taiwan. Taipei's north for everybody. Most people know where Taipei is. And I'm pretty happy today. We're coming off our second game, preseason game. We lost the first one by a point to a team called DEA. We were very, very good. It was a nice little wake-up call for us. And then the next night, we won by 30 against the team we beat in the championship series last year. But all teams have changed a little bit. But my day off, Paul. So great day to be chatting with you.
Well, thanks for carving out a bit of time on your day off to talk about hoops with us. I want to start, Brendan, by just name-checking a few great coaches that you've worked with directly on the bench. Tom Penrose, Barry Barnes, and, of course, Brian Gurdjian. And I'm sure there's been many others as well. But from this perspective, up close, what do you think the great coaches do differently that sets them apart?
Well, they've all been great in their own time. Gorge is still going, obviously, now, like me, coaching overseas. So, I mean, he's probably the leader in that part. He went first. I've only just started coaching full-time. Barry Barnes was a coach to coach me as a kid and as a senior coach. Tommy Penrose, I loved it when I saw that name mentioned. Not many people would know him, and he was way ahead of his time. So I'll talk a little bit more about him because he was around, obviously, in the 50s and 60s. And when I took over the Illawarra Hawks, or then Wollongong Hawks, back to Illawarra Hawks, he was so passionate because he was from Wollongong. He was a lecturer at the Wollongong University. And he came and knocked on my door, and I didn't have a clue who he was the first day, pretty much the first day I started. He said, I'm going to tell you, there's not many people you can trust, but you can trust me. It was really interesting. And he said, I just really admired you as a player. And I know you've been coaching in the CBA, it was for 3 years, but I'd love to help. I know he helped Alan Black previously. And when I got to know him, man, God, he was an intelligent guy. And I'll talk a fraction more about him, but I'll go back to the others. What is it about these guys? But I think what jumps out about all those three names you mentioned, they're extremely passionate and have a love for the game, genuine passion and love for the game. They obviously have a level of a competency. If you're not competent, you're not going to be respected. You have to have some competency. You have to understand what you're doing. You have to know what to do, how to do, when to do, why to do, those four things. So I think most of those coaches have that ability. But another thing that stands out, I think, with great coaches is accountability. They hold everyone accountable. It could be even four members, depending on the relationships with players. It makes it tough sometimes, and just all friends, family, all that sort of thing. But they are strong enough and have the courage and conviction to hold people accountable. Because if you let things slide, you're not going to be successful. We use the word slippage. Gorge and I, we both use the same word. If you have slippage, you can't have it if you want to be successful. Another one, you can have all that, but do you have the ability to influence? So there's some charisma about those guys. Aside from their skills, their competent skills and their determination, they have an ability to influence. When they speak, people listen and they're respected. So I think that jumps out. What's the other one? Like, I want to go back to Tom Penrose, the fifth one, because I think no one would know him, but what I utilized him as like an assistant, and he would keep stats. And before that, they really kept stats with analytics, right? He could see the game. So at the end of the game, he'd have everything, transition, baskets, layups against, fouls, rebounds. He'd have all the normal stats, but we'd obviously keep certain statistics that we had performance. So he would keep those for me, and he would do those on his own. Now, not many people can do that. You know, I found he would see the game in what I call in a holistic way. And I think that's been a strength of mine. It's watching players play their roles within the concepts of how you want to play as a team. So players' abilities within the schemes, you've got to see all that. So that helps you. Pretty much game coaching, make adjustments on the run. Some coaches have to wait till the video the next day or make adjustments for the next game. And we all do that, but you have to see things on the run. And I think Tom had that ability. Coached in the 50s and 60s, he coached the Hawks, so not many people know about him. But there's a video of us winning the championship, me getting off the bus and he's crying, you know, because we won the Hawks first championship. And he was a big part of that. Yeah, so I was rapt to see that name. So people need to know about that guy.
Well, we'll get on to that Hawks premiership later on in the discussion, but perhaps let's go on a bit of a journey, because 13 seasons as a player, and one of the interesting stats from your career was that for many years you held the league record for assists. And I'm just wondering how this appreciation for assisting is visible now in your own coaching philosophy.
I really love the fact you're picking these things up, Paul, because it's that big part. And what I found is the early days when I played in the NBA, I felt there was too much focus on the Americans, the imports. We gave them the ball. They looked to score. When we got to the playoffs, the suspect is we were runners up, but we never won the championship. And I think we were too reliant. And there wasn't enough encouragement for them to share the basketball. But yeah, that's how it was then. So part of that stays with me as a coach. So me being a point guard and sharing the ball, I had to make an adjustment and become more aggressive, probably in my own way. And it was assistant coach Colin Cadet, another famous name in basketball, that encouraged me to be more aggressive scoring-wise. And so it was the middle part, the late part of my career, I started to find that balance. And I also found that made me a better point guard. So people respected the fact I was trying to score, maybe a better passer. So, you know, there'd be less help, so to speak. So I encourage that in my point guards today. And as you say, I encourage players really to be aggressive, not just the point guard, all players to be aggressive to score, but make the extra pass. So I encourage them to play to their strengths, first of all. And if everyone makes the extra pass, they usually become a tough team to play against. So all the championship teams I've been with, whether it be CBA, Ballarat, the Hawks, now Taiwan, Kaohsiung Aquas, the Opals, bronze medal, and the teams that have been successful, we've had multiple scorers. And we've had high assist rates. So that's really makes us tough to scout as well. So yes, it's definitely had an influence in the style of play and how I encourage players and my team to play.
Brendan, over the arc of your journey, how have you managed to balance confidence as a coach with the humility needed to look beyond your own strengths and keep improving?
Yeah, most coaches have got to have a thick skin, and they usually have a level of confidence and belief in themselves. To last, that needs to be pretty strong, because it's a tough life being a coach. Everyone's critical, and especially in today's society, the last 20 years, I'll talk more about the as a player, I think it's even tougher. Everyone's got an opinion, and usually the opinion's negative unless you win every game. So you do need a self-belief, you need a confidence, but at the same time, you can't have an arrogance to the fact that you think you know it all. Now, I'm 60 years of age and I don't know it all. I listen, I watch, I read, watch videos, I read books. Where I can, I try to spend time with other coaches, not just in basketball, from other sports, especially being in Melbourne. We've got some great football teams. I've got to meet some AFL coaches. I noticed, I'm just trying to think, you had Dimmer on one of your shows the other week. So established a little bit of a relationship with him. Various AFL coach, Brian Smith, he's the coach in the NRL. I got a lot from meeting with him. He was a coach, runner-up a couple of times with St. George, Warra, Parramatta, went and coached the Warriors. He's an underrated coach that never won a championship. I think one of the best coaches I've ever met. I learned a lot from